Welcome back for the third hour of Issues Etc. It's Audio Open Lines. It just feels like forever to me since we've done a full hour of Audio Open Lines. I don't know why that is, but weeks, it seems like, since we've done a full hour of Audio Open Lines. Monday, September the 10th, and our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be talking a little bit later in the program about the Republican presidential debate in New Hampshire. They were talking family values. That used to be just the comfort zone for Republicans. Think back just 10 years, 10, 12 years. It was the comfort zone for Republicans, and now not so much. A little difficult for the broad group of men that are running for the Republican ticket to get into that conversation. Some of them are more comfortable than others. We'll hear a roundtable on Fred Thompson's decision to finally run. Many people are heaving a sigh of relief, and others are a little, what is the word for when you get all built up for something and then it isn't what you thought it was going to be? I can't remember what that word is, except for disappointed.
Let down.
There we go. That'll do. Some people are a little let down by they were ready for a new day to dawn. The sun would rise. The stars would all align. And all the other candidates would pack up their bags and go home. And Fred Thompson would begin his long, slow walk to Washington, D.C. And it really didn't happen. It made a splash, but not the kind of splash that some were anticipating. Hannity and Combs does an interview with a female victim of polygamy. And if we get into the schedule, if time allows, we'll hear an ABC News Good Morning America feature on women in Pakistan. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc.org. You know, we were just talking with Uwe C. Minetto here in the studio. The guy looked like $1 million, didn't he?
Is he like drinking from the fountain of youth or what?
He's my dad's age. First of all, he's got color in his hair, yeah, which is amazing.
Well, he's got more hair than you and me combined.
That's true. He's got more color in his
hair.
He's
71.
Than I do. Yeah. And for all, he talked about the rainy season that he spent over when he was in Europe. The guy, did you see the tan? It's like he'd been to the salon or something. It was amazing.
No way he goes to a tanning spa.
Absolutely no way he goes to the tanning spa. There must have been more sun in Europe this summer than he let on.
It must be good wine, or he definitely has a good woman in Jillian.
I don't know what it is.
I mean, he walked in here, I was like, he looked like, you know, some, like, movie star. He always dresses dapper. Would you say he's probably the best dressed guest we have?
You know, when he puts it on, I think so, yeah. I'm trying to think who would rival him. Most of our guests are not that well-dressed. Of course, we don't get to see a lot of them, but the ones that we actually get to see, I'd say Pat Ferry and Larry Raster in some sort of a bow tie contest one another.
But remember last time we had Larry on, he came with an Ohio State t-shirt when we were at Fort Wayne?
That's right. He disrespected us. He came dressed down. That's true. But the next day, he had on one of these suits. I call them Johnny Carson suits because they're suits that apparently don't wrinkle. All my suits wrinkle. I don't know how it happens. I just look at my suits, and they wrinkle. But no, it was good to see Uwe again, wasn't it?
I'm just stunned.
What did you do this weekend? You
don't want to go there.
I must tell our listeners that Jeff and I are the same age. We're both 43. He's just a couple weeks or months or something ahead of me. But Jeff married a much younger woman. I think she's 25 years younger than he is, something in that neighborhood. I don't know what it is.
8 years.
Difference. 8 years younger. Okay.
Like Fred Thompson. She's my trophy wife.
That's right. And so Jeff married a much younger woman. So they started, he married at a much later age. How old were you when you got married?
32.
Okay. You were 32 and you got married. So you started your family much later than we did. My kids are teenagers now. And Jeff's kids are all little, some in various stages of littleness. I mean, from what? How old is Justin?
9 years old to 9 months old.
9 to 9 months. So Jeff is doing this not all by himself, but he's doing this as a single dad for the next 2 weeks?
Started Thursday. My wife gets home from France this coming Sunday.
So he's got 4 kids from 9 years to 9 months at home, and I know that your mom's probably living at your house, but still, how was your weekend?
It was okay until this morning. We had I got home about 1:30 in the morning after doing the Sunday night show. Jack wakes up at 3:30. He's teething terribly. I can't get him down. Try everything. Orgel, Motrin, singing, changing where he's sleeping. Let him sleep with me.
Have you tried bourbon?
No, I haven't tried bourbon.
A little bourbon on the end of your finger. Rub it into the gums. They're out like a light.
Yeah, I think Uwe told me to do that once.
Yeah, Uwe told you to do that once.
Yeah, when in doubt, a little shot of bourbon won't hurt.
Okay.
So, I can't get in bed. So finally, you know, I'm on this strict routine. My wife leaves copious notes on, you know, schedules and everything. So I'm not supposed to give him a bottle till like, you know, 7:30, I think. So finally I said, I'm just getting the kid a bottle. So about 6 o'clock, give him a bottle. He drinks the thing, falls asleep, which I just wasted like 3 hours. It's probably all he wanted all along.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah.
So by the time it's 6:30, then I got to get three kids up for school. Justin for third grade, Emily for second, and Katie for pre-K. All right. Justin gets sick at the breakfast table.
Oh, that's always good.
Yes.
That's always good.
As we're about 15 minutes ready for Grandpa to pick him up and take him to school. And then I couldn't figure out Emily's homework all. They have these planners now. I don't understand they do homework. Beth does all this stuff, okay? So this is new to me. I should be more involved, but I confess I'm not. So they have these like planners now. What's with these planners?
Oh, it's the latest thing. It's planners and folders and binders, and the kids carry this stuff around, and it doesn't fit in the lockers. And my wife and I have been through about a 4-week ordeal with my son. No, not 4 weeks. 2-week ordeal with my son over the fact that the binders don't fit in the locker. They physically do not fit in the locker, and he's got about 14 of the things. And my wife actually had our first argument in probably a year. I mean, real kind of argument. My wife and I get along very well. Our real kind of first argument, it didn't turn into tears or anything, but disagreement over whether I put the binders in horizontally or vertically. Don't ask about the details, but it's been resolved. My wife actually went and looked in the locker, and I remembered correctly. It was right. So I don't know what that's all about. It's very convenient for the teachers. I know that. Really great for the teachers.
Well, in her journal for the homework for the weekend, it said page 12 of journal, okay? Well, I don't have any other books. She doesn't bring any other books home, so I'm looking through this planner thinking that must be the journal. I look on page 12, and it's just got dates and empty lines.
Oh, Jeff.
So I email the teacher on Saturday, and she gets back to me this morning after Justin, you know, had gotten sick at the breakfast table. You've got mail, you know, and there it is. Oh, Emily was supposed to take her math book home, which means she didn't do her homework. That's how my day started.
You are buying yourself a world of trouble. I mean, this is going to be hard. It really is. Your week has not started off well. You're going to have to somehow get this girl back on track. What about the little one?
He looks about 10 years older than he did last Wednesday.
Yeah.
Uwe comes in here looking younger, and you come in here looking older.
Right, right. But the little, which one? The Katie?
Katie.
The four-year-old?
How's she doing?
Oh, she's Katie. She's an honorary cuss.
All right.
She should have been a boy.
So all is well.
But no, I have to give tip of the hat. I'd be in the insane asylum were it not for my parents. I mean, they live like, what, a mile away from me? And you know, I thought they were the best parents in the world, but they're even better grandparents, which is hard to believe.
You guys hear that? That's your son talking there. That's something you should. That's gold. That's gold. That's good stuff.
I just say that because it's time for them to renew their membership in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly or annual donor program. Membership benefits include CDs, tapes, and transcripts.
Why don't we have you do in the lives? We should have you do in the lives. I'm sitting here just breaking my neck doing these lives, trying to stay on top of this, and you could be doing them all along. By the way, let's say congratulations to someone who we met and was just indispensable to us when we were in Minneapolis. This was Ross Meyer. He and his wife, and his wife was quite pregnant at the time, drove back and forth and back and forth and hither and yon to people's houses, helping us get into the church, helping us move stuff around. He was there to help us and to make sure that we had everything we needed when we visited the name of the church. What's the name of the church up there in Minneapolis?
St. John's.
St. John's up in Maple Grove. They call it Maple Grove sometimes. And Ross Meyer was great. His wife was very helpful. And they just had their very first child, Alexandra May Meyer, A-M-M. We'll refer to her from this point on as A-M-M. And she was born today. by the way.
At 3:41, so we're talking like an hour and a half ago, and we get the email.
3:41, she was born right in the middle of our first hour. And I hope that he was listening to it. I mean, you can do these things now in the delivery rooms. I hope he didn't miss a minute of issues, et cetera. I hope the first voice that this child heard when she emerged into our world was mine. That would have been nice.
Folks, he really doesn't mean that. You know, people are starting to take this Texas superiority thing. I mean, people, you're starting to offend a lot of people.
Have
on
we
that.
Been getting responses from our listeners?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I have to convince people you really, really, really deep down inside don't really think that way. But it's coming across to people like you do really think that you are superior to everyone else.
Oh, no. You got to remember, while I am a Texan, that's the old man. The new man, all the Texas pride resides in the old man. The new man is a humble servant of mankind.
You know, speaking of Texas, I told you what Texas has wrought on the Christian church, Joel Osteen, mm-hmm. Robert Tilton, Creflo Dollar, and then today...
good old Kenny Copeland.
Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas. P.O. Box, Fort Worth, Texas. And I was thinking, what the presidents that Texas has bestowed us with...
He's been working on this for like weeks now.
Lyndon
Go ahead.
Baines Johnson...
Yeah, there's and a freeway named for him down in Dallas.
And the two Bushes.
There's a freeway named for the elder Bush down in Dallas, too. You got LBJ, and then the next loop out, George Bush. It's a tollway now. George Bush is what they call it. And it's for Daddy Bush.
Have you ever been to the LBJ Museum down at, it's outside of Austin?
No, I have not.
Very nice. It's.
I'm from northern Texas, and there's no real reason to go any farther south than the Dallas-Fort Worth area. No,
so those
really.
People don't matter either. They're not real.
We've talked about this before. 505-780.
I thought you had to be dead before they named something after you.
Not in Texas.
Yeah. No, rules don't apply to Texas.
He moved out of the state, which is as good as being dead. So, you know, name the tollway after him.
Doesn't he really live in, like, Maine most of the time? I mean, how much is this George Bush Sr. in Texas?
No, I'm sure he's in Kennebunkport all the time.
But why? If Texas is, like, you know, the new Israel, why would he want to spend time in Maine?
Don't know. I can't, you know. How do you explain a fall from grace? I don't know. It just happens. We don't believe in once saved, always saved. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's audio open lines. Our call-in numbers, that's what they were, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Last week, in preparation for what is going to prove to be a very interesting primary and caucus season, given the fact that everybody's kind of jumping around trying to be first, trying to take that first slot, it used to be New Hampshire. Well, the Republican candidates were in New Hampshire for one of their many, many debates prior to the primary season. And they were there talking about family values. We're going to hear that here in just a minute. I invite your questions and your comments. It is audio, open lines, anything you want to talk about, but we'll bring this to you for your consideration. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's just a little bit of that Republican presidential. Oh, no. Jeff runs in waving his hands. Are we doing the presidential debate? All right. You guys don't get to see this. When Jeff drops the phone, leaps from his chair, and comes running into the room. And I'm supposed to act like it doesn't happen. There's a phone call. It comes from Dennis. Dennis, thanks for joining us. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello.
Hi, Dennis.
Yes, I just wanted to correct or mention that while you were sitting on your back porch at your brother's house watching the sunset there in Texas, that you failed to mention that the sun actually sets in the shape of Texas.
But it does. Didn't I mention that the sun is actually in the shape of Texas down in Texas?
I think you failed to mention it. I don't recall.
It does. It's the most amazing phenomenon.
And while you're sitting there with a Lone Star... You know, it's no wonder that it's in the shape of Texas.
Actually, it wasn't a Lone Star. I'm going to have to rack my brain for what it was, but it was not. It was a Lone Star has kind of fallen out of favor in Texas. It was an
Anheuser-Busch product.
It was a Shiner Bock is what it was,
yeah,
which
yeah.
is the new, for some reason, Shiner Bock is the new beer of Texas. It used to be Lone Star. The new beer of Texas is Shiner Bock. And my family, proud Texans, for those who do drink beer, are all Shiner Bock people.
Hey, Dennis, truth be told, it was actually a Budweiser made right here in good old St. Louis, Missouri. I talked to his brother.
Dennis. Well, I can't really blame him for that. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Dennis. Well, see, the story for those who were not initiated into my sitting on the back porch was middle of January, no coat, watching the sunset while my brother grills hamburgers. Middle of January. It might have been February. I'm not sure. No coat. Cool, clear sky, sun setting in the shape of Texas. The stars, they're all the shape of Texas, too, but they're so tiny, you need a telescope to see them. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You can't blame me for my love for my home. I actually love the Midwest, too. I really do. I am a confirmed resident of the Midwest. I live here by choice. I really do. It's a self-imposed exile. Can we go to the audio from the New Hampshire debate now? Is that
Yeah, that's why I'd given Charlie the wrong number. I wasn't screaming to get that caller in. We would have gone to the Fred Thompson audio. But you know, your love for Texas.
Is Fred Thompson a Texan?
No, I don't. I think he's Tennessean, right?
Yes, he is.
I don't know if that's his native. But the you love Texas so much? Try doing your sermon review on Kenneth Copeland's sermon that you did in the first hour on a Christian radio station in Texas and see how long you'd be on the air down there.
Yeah, we're being real careful with that Houston affiliate, aren't we? We got a new Houston affiliate, and we're very happy to have them, 100,000 watts down there. But we're being a little careful with the Houston affiliate because those Texas listeners, they can be persnickety. We've learned from experience. Well, they were in New Hampshire for one of their many debates. They were talking family values. Here's a little bit of the Republican candidates' debate in New Hampshire from last week.
Governor Romney, your aides say you see ending abortion as a two-step process, rolling back Roe v. Wade, which would leave it legal in some states, and then a constitutional amendment to ban it nationwide. If abortion is murder, how can you live with it being legal in some parts of the country, and for how long could you do so?
Well, I think almost all of us in the room would say that we'd love to have an America that didn't have abortion. But the truth of the matter is that that's not where America is right now. That's not where the American people are right now. And so I'd like to see Roe v. Wade overturned and allow the states and the elected representatives of the people and the people themselves have the ability to put in place pro-life legislation. And, of course, it's our aspiration that at some point we'll see a nation that doesn't have abortion. But until that time, I certainly believe that allowing states and citizens and their representatives to fashion their own laws to protect the sanctity of life is very, very important. I recognize that for many people that is considered an act of murder to have an abortion. It is without question the taking of a human life, and I believe that a civilized society must respect the sanctity of the human life. But we have two lives involved here, a mom and an unborn child. We have to have concern for both lives and show the expression of our compassion and our consideration, and work to change hearts and minds. And that's the way, in my view, we'll ultimately have a society without abortion.
Governor Huckabee, do you see any real difference between Governor Romney's willingness to allow legalized abortion in some states and Mayor Giuliani's effective support for a woman's right to choose?
Wendell, I'm going to let them sort out whatever differences they have. I would love to see us have in this country what I helped lead in our state in Arkansas, and that's a human life amendment to our state constitution, Amendment 65, that says that we believe life begins at conception and that we ought to do everything in the world possible to protect it until its natural conclusion. And that means that we truly value and respect, elevate, and celebrate every life. The reason this country has been extraordinarily interested in what's going on to those minors out in Utah is because even though we don't know them, they represent us in the sense that they are human beings and we don't know their fate. We need to show the same kind of respect for life, whether a child is in the womb or whether in a coal mine or in a long-term care facility. It's about the fact that in our culture, the greatest
testament that we can give is that we have a undying respect for every human life as having intrinsic worth and value.
Thank you, Governor.
All right, that's both Mitt Romney and Governor Huckabee, both of them contenders there for the presidential candidacy on the Republican side, answering the question about abortion. I found Romney's answer, interesting, his position intriguing. His position, as stated, is that he'd like to see Roe v. Wade overturned, that the issue then returns to the realm of the states for them to decide how they're going to deal with abortion state by state, and that, and I hadn't heard this before, that eventually he would like to see a federal constitutional amendment to ban abortion nationwide. A two-step process is what the moderator called it there. Now, that's an intriguing position. His answer was less intriguing, because while he was firm on overturning Roe v. Wade, he didn't give any reasons why it ought to be overturned, other than, obviously, we're dealing here with the taking of innocent human life, which is a big reason, but I think there's a compelling legal reason to overturn it, too, besides the moral reason. When he was trying to explain his gradual step approach to eliminating abortion nationwide, he said, well, there are two people involved here, two lives involved here. I don't know that that really has anything to do with it. I don't want to sound heartless. I think the woman should certainly be considered here. But why take a two-step approach? Is it simply because, well, we're kind of accommodating ourselves to the fact that women are involved in abortion? No. Let's just be honest. As remote a possibility as overturning Roe v. Wade would be in our country, even more remote is a constitutional amendment banning abortion, period, in this country. That's an honest answer. It's simply not feasible. Is it desirable? Sure. But is it feasible? No. Of course, overturning Roe v. Wade didn't look feasible 10 years ago. It's looking more and more feasible as the days go by. A lot of it will depend on, perhaps, who sits in the White House, not only in 2008, but beyond. Why would we want to overturn Roe v. Wade besides the fact that abortion takes innocent human life? It's bad law. It was a poorly decided, poorly argued, poorly conceived decision. It's one of a few very, very black marks on the U.S. Supreme Court that, like those that came before them, bad decisions, bad law, badly conceived, badly reasoned law needs to be overturned. I think it has to do, in a lot of ways, with the integrity of the court. That as long as it sits there as part of their, what do they call it, their precedent that they deal with, they're building all of their decisions on a bad decision. How could decisions, subsequent decisions build on an initial bad decision be good? They really can't. Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for September is a children's book written by Charles Lehman. He's a newly minted pastor and a regular guest here on the program. It's called God Made It For You, The Story of Creation. It's $14.99 plus shipping and handling. You can find out more about it at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and ask them about the Issues, Etc. book of the month for September, God Made It For You by Pastor Charles Lehman. 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, the last half hour of the program, more audio open lines.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you looking for some spiritual fulfillment before going to bed? Are you offended by much of what you see on primetime television? Why not tune in tonight at 7 for the rebroadcast of an hour of Issues, Etc. AM 850 KFUO rebroadcast an hour of Issues, Etc. weekday evenings at 7. I'm Todd Wilkin, inviting you to listen again tonight at 7 for an encore presentation of Issues, Etc. on AM 850 KFUO.
Close your eyes. Imagine that you're coming through the doors of the fabulous Fox Theater. Can you see it? It's amazing that once you've been there, you can't forget it. That design style, by the way, is called Siamese Byzantine, and if that's something you didn't know, the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park is celebrating the silver anniversary of the fabulous fox, displaying artifacts, photographs, and presenting a video to make it all clear once again for you. Visit mohistory.org for more information.
Death and suffering. Now what's the big picture?
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the children's book, The Dinosaurs of Eden. Well, Ken, on television we watch terrorist attacks and wars, and all of that's really brought home the reality of suffering and death around the world. What does the Bible say about such things?
Well, you know, Mark, more than ever, people are looking for answers. But how can you explain the fact that there's a God of love, and yet the earth's filled with suffering? That's why I think people are so troubled about the war in Iraq and terrorist attacks. You know, I remember talking to a New York police officer right after September 11 who told me that people were so desperate for answers. But, he said, they had the wrong big picture because of the false view of history they were taught at school. You know what that was? Evolution and millions of years of death and suffering before man. You see, he said to me that people really needed the true picture found in Genesis to understand death and suffering. That God made a perfect world. God said it was very good. But Adam's rebellion brought death into the world. You know, that's the key. Adam let it in, so to speak, when he rebelled against God. And the Bible makes it clear we've all sinned, not just Adam. And that's the basis of the gospel. Death invaded creation, but God loved us so much that his Son stepped into history to conquer death.
Some non-believers won't even listen to the gospel because they think there aren't good answers to questions about the Bible's history. Read Ken Ham's free series of booklets on the real history of the world on our website, answersradio.com.
On 9/11, 6 years ago, America was awakened to the hatred of fanatical Muslims. To counter hate against all Muslims, some have suggested that Muslims who do good works, as well as those in any other religion who do good works, can receive salvation. On the next Law and Gospel, we will examine whether that assertion is biblical.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on AM 850 KFUO.
We give thanks for the folks at LCMS World Relief because they are the hands and the feet that allow many people to reach out in charity and love to those who are less fortunate than we.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Arthur Just on the importance of LCMS World Relief.
In the Gospels, Jesus says that he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And spending out his life for us on the cross is how he served us. Because Christ is in us, and we embody him in his mercy and love, we are to manifest that in our lives. And LCMS World Relief does exactly that, by reaching out with concrete expressions of Christ's love, mercy, and compassion to those who have been broken by storm and tempest, who, for whatever reason, need the kind of love and compassion that is in us because Christ is in us.
For more information or to donate to LCMS World Relief, call them toll-free 1-888-930-4438. Tomorrow on the program, children as idols. I touched on this subject yesterday in my sermon a little bit. Tomorrow we'll talk with Dr. Richard Stuckwish about children as idols. He ought to know. He's got 9 of them at home. Hopefully not all of them are idols. And I'm not talking about American idols. I'm talking about the kind of idols that we worship in our hearts. Who wouldn't want a kid to be American Idol? I mean, it works out so beautifully for all of them. Pastor Bruce Kaseman of Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois, will join us to talk about interpreting parables, and we'll talk about the best-selling book, The Secret, with James Walker. It's audio open lines. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issue ZTC at KFUO.org. Now I'm lost. I went out into the lobby, and they had this bullseye. Have you ever had one of those little things? It's a piece of candy. It was so delicious. It robbed me of all my mental capacity. I was just savoring its flavor.
Did you eat bullseye when you shot that one firecracker or something that nobody else has ever heard of before?
The little chicken. You never forget any of these things that I say on the air. The little chicken, someone found it and sent me a link to a picture
for the little chicken. I don't know if it's called the little chicken. It might be called the Mexican chicken. It might be called something like that.
Hey, Todd, you don't think I'm listening, but I remembered that, and I went out and got some screaming chickens after we did that.
You did?
Show.
You actually
did?
They
called them screaming chickens.
Where did you find them?
Fireworks stand.
No way.
Did it screams,
yeah.
And then it lays the little fireball eggs, right?
It sure does.
Yeah, that's what am I
thought it was just a Texas thing.
No, this was done in southern Illinois. I discovered the screaming chicken in southern Illinois. So there. Fred Thompson threw his hat into the ring. People were anxiously anticipating what this would mean. Lo and behold, the sky didn't fall and the rest of the candidates didn't go home. They're all ready for a fight, as is Thompson. Many people have very high hopes. Let's hear from the Beltway Boys, a round table of journalists on Fred Thompson's candidacy.
Preseason's over. That's what Fred Thompson said when he finally got into the Republican presidential race, and it was a splashy beginning. His eight rivals were on the stage with Fox News in New Hampshire for a debate, but he had Jay Leno all to himself. That's 3 million viewers watching the Fox debate, 6 million viewers watching Jay Leno. That's a pretty good beginning.
Yeah.
But big questions remain. I mean, can he get organized and financed well enough to catch up with Mitt Romney and in New Hampshire and Iowa, where Romney has a big lead? Does he have a message that will knock Rudy Giuliani out of first place in the national polls and in the later states, Florida and South Carolina and so on? I thought his appearance on Leno was pretty good. He went out to Iowa then, and he was not so good in Des Moines. And then he was actually a lot better, folksy, the usual folksy Fred Thompson in Council Bluffs. Here's the first performance in Des Moines and followed by Council Bluffs. Watch.
I think this time in America's history, Americans are once again ready to do the things necessary to achieve that greater good. And that greater good is nothing less than the security, prosperity, and unity of the greatest nation in the world. I grew up in a little town in southern middle Tennessee. You know, my folks came in off the farm. They didn't have a chance to go to high school. They went to work. And with the best parents that you could possibly ever have, nothing to live up in terms of degrees or professional accomplishments in terms of titles or anything like that, but everything to live up to in terms of how to be a person and how to grow up to be the right kind of man.
That wasn't bad. Look, I didn't think he was so bad in Des Moines in the first part, but you know, there's a lesson in what Fred Thompson is doing, Mort. Why are we wearing ties? If he's better not wearing one. You know, I think you have probably been as bearish as I've been on Thompson. You know, we saw him, you know, he sort of slept walk through the last couple months of his non-candidacy, but this is a pretty impressive beginning for all the reasons you stated, particularly Leno, where he was very good. He sounded just more authoritative and clear and vigorous and energized and so on, all of which he didn't sound like before. It's really night and day. If he can keep this up, he's going to be a very, very serious challenger for the nomination. I think what he's got to do is convince conservatives that he's the real thing. That he's not, you know, he's going to use this phrase, I'm the consistent conservative, you know, I'm not like Romney who's flip-flopped and I am a conservative and Rudy Giuliani's not. But he's got to, I think he's got to convince him of this, that if he's president, when he's in Washington, he's not going to, you know, buckle over for the Washington crowd to push him around. And that's a hard sell to make.
Okay, what do you think? Now that he has thrown his hat into the ring, we got a little bit more from the Beltway Boys on Fred Thompson's candidacy in just a minute, but now that he has thrown his hat into the ring, are you as enthusiastic as you have been about Fred Thompson's candidacy in the Republican Party for the president in 2008? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or is his honeymoon already over? I noticed something. I'm not going to say what it is, but I noticed something in the things that Fred Thompson was saying and now is saying after he announced his candidacy. And I think it happens with every presidential candidate, but I noticed it happened with Thompson as well. Are you still excited about it? When we talked about it months ago, you were very excited. Of course, it was just a promise and a prospect then. Now it's reality, the Thompson candidacy. 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850, coming to you live this Monday, the 10th of September. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Steve is calling from his car. Hi, Steve.
How about indifferent?
About Fred Thompson?
Yeah, neither hot nor cold, indifferent.
Were you excited before, or is your indifference simply the continuation of previous apathy?
As long as there's more movies on television when Trey Thompson becomes president, I'm happy. So, you know, he has lots of good, shoot 'em ups, but that's not really why I called.
And why is that, Steve?
Well, I have a question. You brought up the family values. They've been talking about the family value thing for really getting close to, 30 years here on this thing? And are we anywhere closer to where they want to be? And has the whole family value discussion become very passe?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, let's not talk about the term, because the term has been used to mean just about everything. But I'd say 25, probably solidly 20 years, we've been talking family values. There's been a family values agenda. In 1994, the Republicans won on what they said was largely fiscal conservatism and social conservatism, including family values. There was a time there when both political parties were trying their hardest to gain the family values voter. Now it's just been reduced to values voters. Has the term come to mean nothing at all? And the question still remains for the rest of you. Steve's not too enthusiastic about Fred Thompson. He's neither hot nor cold on Fred Thompson now that he's a real candidate. What about the rest of you? We talked with you some months back when he was promising to run or hoping to run, and you were very excited. Are you still? Or do you think the honeymoon's over? 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. Issues ETC at KFUO.org. Back to the Beltway boys. They're still talking about Fred Thompson.
One thing you didn't say that's happened, I think, that's important right at the beginning of the real campaign here after Labor Day, and that's the emergence of John McCain from the political morgue, where everybody thought his campaign was basically over, that he was politically dead. But he was great in the Fox debate in New Hampshire, and it's clear he's itching for a fight, as he demonstrated in the debate when he went after Mitt Romney. Watch.
If the surge is working, then we're going to be able to start bringing back our troop level slowly but surely and play more of a support role over time.
Governor, the surge is working. The surge is working, sir.
That's just what
it is
said.
Working. No, not apparently. It's working.
Well, I agree with you about McCain. I hope he's back. The race and the country would be better for it. What's amazing to me is the fact that Giuliani, the social liberal, has managed to keep his lead for all this time. And, you know, everybody knows who he is now and what he stands for and where he's come from and all that. He's 11 points ahead of Thompson in the national polls. And the Republican pollster Tony Fabrizio did a poll of 2,000 Republicans all across the country, and it shows that Giuliani is ahead among all Republican groups, including isolationists and hawks and tax cutters and even moralists,
which conservatives,
Important. Now, it's just possible that Mitt Romney and Fred Thompson could together divide the regular conservatives in the race, and Giuliani could come through and be the nominee of the party. Giuliani clearly has one answer to all questions, whether it's immigration questions or governance questions or personal life questions and stuff like that. This was the all-purpose answer in the Fox debate. Watch this.
I had 400,000 illegal immigrants, roughly, in New York City. If you are a child in New York City, of which we had 40,000 to 50,000 to 60,000 illegal immigrant children, did it make sense to leave them on the streets? New York City was, during the years that I was mayor, the safest large city in the United States. The focus of our law should be on criminals. That's what I did in New York City. I reduced shootings in New York City by 75%.
You got that? 75%. Yeah, no matter what the issue is, he's handled it successfully when he was mayor of New York. And the truth is, he did handle a lot of these things successfully. You know, I think he has, as I think you pointed out, nationally, he's number one in the polls. But Romney has something that's very, very important. And he's ahead by double digits. I mean, these are strong leads in both New Hampshire and Iowa. And Giuliani and Thompson are nearly neck and neck in South Carolina. But the first two events are Iowa and New Hampshire. If Romney can hold on to that, and I have no idea whether he'll be able to or not, but if he does, and he wins both, I mean, he'll take off like a rocket. He'll be hard to stop if you wouldn't be, because Iowa and New Hampshire always have such an impact. In the meantime, You know that little thing we saw with McCain going after Romney? I think you're going to see an awful lot of that. McCain was rolling his eyes during the, it wasn't shown on TV, but rolling his eyes when Romney was talking during the debate. I mean, he obviously thinks that that Romney's vulnerable and that kind of a patsy and maybe even a weenie. But at the moment, I think I'd rank, based on their chances of winning the campaigns this way, Giuliani, Romney, Thompson, and coming in fourth, McCain.
I agree with that.
Okay, it's got to be the first time they've used the word weenie on our airwaves. I think it's probably a safe word. But it's the first time I've ever heard it.
I'm thinking soundbite of the week, maybe.
It could be. Could be.
I don't want, you know, I don't watch much TV, but I hate the Beltway Boys. I shouldn't say hate. I dislike the Beltway Boys.
Why is that?
Although I think I've watched it maybe two times. It's my mom's favorite show, and she refuses to babysit while the Beltway Boys are on. We have to, like, and for a long time, we didn't have a cable. You know,
well, you know, I don't watch hardly any cable news or any news. I watch local news to just feel like I'm still part of the human race. And that's about it. I don't watch any of that stuff. I get enough of it at work. And I didn't even know that Fred Thompson and Mort Kondracki still had a show. I mean, I remember them back from the days of the Capital Gang. Do you remember the Capital Gang? Back when
that was a great show, and they had Pat Buchanan.
That was the most awesome show ever. And it was Pat Buchanan and Mort Kondracki and Fred Barnes and
Wall Street Journal, Al Hunt.
Al Hunt was there. Is he still alive? And then they had whoever their moderator was. He was awesome. It was great. Oh. Of course, that was back when you didn't have that kind of show every 30 minutes on every channel 24 hours a day. It was kind of unique at the time. So Fred Thompson's in, but the best he's going to do right now in the polls in those all-important venues is second. It's pretty good. I mean, you announce and the next thing you know, you're second to Mitt Romney in the two first states where you really got to make a showing in the primary season. That ain't bad. Andy's calling from Kirkwood. Hi, Andy.
Well, Todd, I'm one of those who is so sick of the presidential race, and the one thing that I do respect Fred Thompson for is he said on the Tonight Show that he waited until after Labor Day and then made his announcement. He held to the old guidelines, and I sure do like that about him. I don't know about his politics, but a little less politicking in the early stages of any election is a big relief to me. I'm just almost ready to concentrate on the issues now. But I do like that Mr. Thompson held off.
Thank you very much, Andy. I think a lot of people like that about him, that he wasn't going to jump the gun. You know, when they were asking early on, and this is almost a year ago, when they're asking early on Newt Gingrich if he was going to run, he said, "Why are you asking me this now? How could I have possibly made up my mind about this now? It's too early." I think Fred Thompson kind of followed suit there. And a lot of people were excited when he was making noises like he was going to run, getting the exploratory committee and filing the papers and all that kind of stuff. Does your excitement remain now that he actually is running? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issue ZTC at KFUO.org.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure.
Those of you not raised in the 60s and 70s, that's the theme to Big Love, HBO's show that was such a huge hit this last season, right alongside The Sopranos. If you haven't seen the show or haven't heard about the show, it's about a polygamist, a guy who lives a happy life, somewhat secretive but not entirely secretive, with three wives of varying ages, problems, dispositions, and the troubles of trying to manage three wives in a household that is polygamous kind of makes polygamy look mainstream. When, in fact, polygamy as it's practiced in the U.S. now is anything but mainstream, more often than not, it is a very dark institution on the wrong side of the law, always, and leading not to happy homes or just sitcom type of humorous situations and zany antics, but in fact, real trouble. Here's an interview between Hannity and Combs on Fox News and a woman who has been the victim of real-life polygamy.
Attorneys for the FLDS leader may have prepared more than 70 witnesses to testify in his defense, but not everybody affiliated with the group is running to Jeff's side.
We would hear it. We would hear the beating. We would see the splinters from the yardstick. We would hear Warren yelling, quoting verses. He made public demonstrations. He would bring children in to the classroom and hold them up as examples. He was very good at humiliation. He was very manipulative of our minds, and I really believe that that's where he got his training.
You'll see more of that interview this week on Hannity's America. Joining us now, another former member of the FLDS Church, polygamy activist, Flora Jessup. Flora, welcome to Hannity and Combs. Did you know Jeff personally? Were you involved with him?
Yes, I knew him as a child.
Were you involved with him?
I was not involved with him. I tried to stay away from him as much as I could as a child. He's just a creep.
You know, he would tell, according to some testimony, young girls it was their spiritual duty. He told a 14-year-old girl her spiritual duty to marry at the age of 14, to be involved sexually with people of that age. Was that your experience?
Absolutely. My 14-year-old sister was married off as well by Warren Jeffs.
How do people get into this situation in the first place where they're subject to this kind of cruelty?
Well, most of the people that are in the FLDS were born into it. This is a result of the children, 200 children from the 1953 raid in Arizona. And this group has grown to 10,000 members from that 253 children. They don't allow outsiders in.
You were, as I understand it, abused yourself at the age of 13 and couldn't get out till the age of 18. How did you survive those years? What did you do for survival purposes?
At first you think that it's okay because that's what everybody tells you. Just be quiet and you know, that's a good priested man, just to be quiet. Everybody goes through this. And you're brought up with the belief that your father is your God, and you can't say no. And
well, how
I don't
is
know
it,
how.
Go ahead.
How do you survive it?
How is it
I don't
that
know
adult
how
women
any child
involved,
survives
adult
it.
Women who are involved in this organization, how do they go along with this and allow the men to treat young girls in this manner?
That's all they know. Most of the, like I said, most of the people here were born into it. Most of the people that started the group are now dead. So we have the second generation born in children. And when they teach the babies not to cry between 6 months and 18 months of age, they do this one of two ways. They repeatedly slap their faces or they hold their faces under running water. You take away the voice of a child and you own that child.
How is it that authorities aren't called in for this? This sounds like child abuse. How is this not brought to the attention of authorities?
We have been trying to get the authorities to come in on this for years, but because the FLDS own this community, the entire city government are members of the FLDS and faithful to Warren Jeffs. The entire police force are members of his group and faithful to him. And every time we decertify law officers from up there, they just bring in more and more of the faithful followers, and they get them trained and put them on the force.
Flora, Sean Hannity, welcome back. Now, we featured you on Hannity's America on Sunday night, and a lot of questions that still remain. I want you to explain to the audience here. First of all, I think it's important for people to know that a lot of these young girls are married off at very young ages. These husbands are basically appointed to them when they're, 14, 15, 16 years old? That's very common?
Yes, the majority are between 14 and 16, but the youngest we know of is 8 years old.
Yeah, I mean, it's really frightening, which is gets to the heart of this case here. Now, I want to talk specifically about the situation with your mother, because you were looking to make contact with her, and I wanted to get an update for our audience. Explain the situation. Explain when the last time you saw her, the efforts you've been involved in to find her, and what the status is.
We've had a missing persons out on my mother for over a year now. She's still inside the group. I have not seen my mother or spoken with her for 7 years. They have been telling me since I started fighting for my sister and for the other children, 7 years ago, they tell me all the time that my mother pays the price and is punished for what I do, for speaking out. And the last time I went up looking for her, they had informed me, the Washington County Sheriff's Office informed me, that if I continued to search for her, they would arrest me.
Yeah.
And
go ahead, finish your thought.
We still have not found her. We continue to look, myself and my brothers.
Yeah. One of the things that when we sent our cameras out there with you, and you were describing the situation, and we went at the compound, there was a graveyard with many children, a very, very high number of young children that had died. What
yes.
is your belief that happened to these young kids within this fundamentalist cult, as you call it?
Well, we know that there's a lot of children that are run over, an extremely high number of children that are run over. We have children that have been that have drank poison. We have children that have drowned. We have just an unusual high yeah. number of stillbirths. But if you took the death rate of children in that community and you compared it, we've compared it to, say, Kingman, Arizona.
Yeah.
If you took and compared the numbers statistically, you would have 300 children die a year in Kingman, Arizona.
All right, Flora, we're going to continue to follow this.
All right, there's the story. Really, what greater contrast could there be between the TV version of polygamy, which is funny and lighthearted and makes for some rather interesting and entertaining drama, and the real thing, which is about as bad as it gets, not only for the women involved, in this case we're talking about teenage girls and their children. Issues Etc. has been brought to you in part by Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. They're going to be hosting the premier conference on worship November the 4th through the 6th. Just go to the What's New section of our website tonight, issuesetc.org, and look for the Good Shepherd Institute logo. That's the conference I'm talking about. Or you can call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, area code 260-452-2256, 260-452-2256. The Good Shepherd Institute, November the 4th through the 6th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. And tomorrow on the program, why do you love your kids? I know you love your kids. I love my kids with all my heart. There's no doubt about that. I don't doubt the sincerity of your love for your children or mine for my kids. But if you're really honest about the motives behind your love for your children, they're not always, in fact, they're never pure, are they? I mean, that might offend you, but it's true. We do not love anyone, even our own children, from pure motives. Sometimes it has more to do with the fact that they make us look good than us simply loving them unconditionally. The proof of that is when they don't make you look good, what happens? Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about your children as idols. Dr. Richard Stuckwish will join us. He should know. He's got 9 kids. I think almost all of them are at home, and one's recently gone off to school. Your children as idols tomorrow on the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.